In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Blessed Lord's Day, brothers and sisters. Today we hit a signpost towards Great and Holy Lent. The Byzantine typikon today is called Zacchaeus Sunday. Now on your calendar in the back, you have to take home, you might see that calls for it next week. It's a slight difference in the Slavic and Byzantine practice, but either way it matters not. We know that these weeks are coming. When we hear this Sunday of Zacchaeus Gospel, we know we're getting ready for Lent. The Lord is preparing us in the church. Then we're going to hear the publican and the Pharisee. We're going to hear about, you know, the prodigal son. We're going to hear about the last judgment. All these things to prepare our souls for this great time of repentance and great and holy Lent. There's many things over the years. You've heard of my years as a priest. 11 versions of this homily. And almost always the same, the patristic teaching about how beautiful it is that Zacchaeus, he repents, he's hated, he's a sinner, he's a bad guy, but the Lord seeks the heart of a person who repents. And today I want to focus on a different part of it, but begin with him. Zacchaeus is sinful. It's clear. He's very sinful. He's done terrible things. He's hated by his own people. He's a betrayer of them, selling them out to the Romans. He's also short. It says he's short of stature. So by worldly standards, he's kind of a runt. You know, I don't know. He's like the George Costanza or something. I don't know. He's kind of, by worldly standards, he's not liked. He's not attractive. He's not tall. You know, being tall was always a sign of strength, and being short was somehow attempt to, like, ridicule people. Of course, it means nothing about the soul, but the Lord, it's made note of in the gospel for a reason. Many people in the gospel, you don't hear about how tall or short they are, but it mattered here in this gospel. He was short of stature. He couldn't see Jesus, so he climbed up into a tree so he could see him. He repented. He was going to repent. And he was willing to make a fool out of himself. For an old man in that society to climb a tree like that, we're very uncouth nowadays. But to do that then was considered very undignified. But he cared more about repenting and the truth, who is Jesus Christ, then he cared about what the world thought. It's very important for us. If we're going to approach Jesus and ask him to forgive us because we're very sinful too, and we're very short of stature, so to speak, we have to be willing to be mocked by the world. Since the beginning, be not of the world, the Lord says. Don't be of the world. You can't serve God and mammon. Be in the world, but not of the world. And every saint, the apostles, all the saints for 2,000 years have been glorious because they have decided to follow him at all costs. And that's precisely what drew other people to the faith, was the boldness of Christians. They believed what was right no matter what, even if it cost them a relationship or their job or even their lives. Today is also a great day. Today we celebrate the new martyrs and confessors of Russia. I'm not Russian, but we should love these saints no matter what. The new martyrs under the communists, you know, in the years, those 70, 80 years under the communist yoke, so many martyrs, 60 million, 60 million martyrs for Christ. And their lives are so beautiful to read. I encourage you to read the New Martyrs and Confessions of Russia. If you read Father Arseny, that book, you have a taste of it. Why are they important to read? Because it's a taste of early church life in a time not very long ago. And by the way, in a time that mirrors ours in a very scary fashion, brothers and sisters. The same kind of growth of worldliness and the growth of godlessness that was growing. St. John of Kronstadt, who died in the early 1900s, he foretold it, he saw it. This going away from God and becoming worldly and earthly. What happened? The terrible Bolshevik Revolution, which young idiots in America nowadays know no history. Antifa, all these people, they have no idea. They think it's so free. Communism, it's so free. Everything's shared. It's a great ideal. But we as Orthodox Christians know where that leads. It leads to the gulag. It leads to the prison camps. It leads to death and destruction. I'm not a political person. I don't even vote. You can ask my kids. I don't. We're supposed to be beyond all that. Nevertheless, that is an excuse for Orthodox Christians to be cop-outs when it comes to the truth about very important things. It's precisely dignity and, what's the word, integrity in believing the truth in the face of persecution that made the church grow, and it's no less now. The same way, we're going to make a better society. There's more progress. These Christians are idiots. That's exactly what the Bolsheviks said. And they destroyed 90% of the churches, not just in Russia, many places. Crucified the priests to the holy doors. Destroyed people. And you know what? The blood of the martyrs waters the tree of the church. That makes you uncomfortable, good. Because Christianity can't be a comfortable Christianity. It never was, it never will be, and if it is, it's not true Christianity, and it won't transform your heart. Your heart has to be broken, has to be bold. And what do I mean today? You know, we talk a lot, you know, I love about this, especially this gospel, the Lord says, what he's saying is, doesn't matter if you're sinful, doesn't matter if you're weak. Like Zacchaeus was weak, doesn't matter. If you have repentance, he will heal you. There's no sin that God can't forgive. None. Not even murder. Not even the worst sins that God can't forgive if someone is truly repentant. That's why I'm a Christian, because God loves us so much. But a person has to be humble and acknowledge that they are weak, and they have to desire that. We live in a very sinful, very proud, very arrogant world that calls light darkness, darkness light, white, black, black, white. So confusing. But here's what's very important. To make any beginning in the spiritual life, we have to stand in the truth, with the truth. And the truth is a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection, the life. He's the truth. Truth isn't an idea or philosophy. It's a person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we have to stand in Him and with Him in the truth. Always, no matter what. No matter what. And very few of us do this. To our own detriment of our own faith growing, and to the detriment of the spreading of the gospel in the sinful world. You know, in our parish, we have a very clear emphasis, don't we? Repentance, love, humility, living the life of a Christian seriously. That's why it's growing here. Glory to God. That's why we built a new church yesterday. Brought me to tears. It was so beautiful for those of you who were there. And I think many of you, we're surprised to see how beautiful the new church was yesterday. Surprised. If you don't just hear about it and you don't see it, it makes you weep. It's so beautiful. This lighthouse downtown in the world of sin is a lighthouse calling every person who is broken to come in here and to be healed by the truth that heals our falsehood. Same with this new church. Beautiful domes and crosses you can see from the highway. And I said yesterday, this isn't a cultural event where people from Eastern Europe can come and worship God. It's not that. It is that. But it's for all people. From Eastern Europe, from the Middle East, from America, from everywhere. Because to live in the truth, the light of Christ illumines all. We say in the divine liturgy, sanctified liturgy, the light of Christ illumines all. And Christians were the light and the salt of the world. If we become weak and worldly, we have no flavor, we have no salt, and this desperate world won't find the truth in God. And it must be said, that all the stuff we always talk about, going to confession, humbling yourself, praying every day, keeping the fast to control your passion. All those things, that's the Christian life of love. But I'm going to tell you, all of that is worthless, literally worthless, if you don't stand up for the truth. If you don't stand in the truth for the ancient church fathers, it didn't matter if you were a martyr. Even the blood of martyrdom could not wash away heresy. Do you know that? Even the blood of martyrdom couldn't wash away someone who would not make a clear stand and a confession of their Christian faith in the face of torture. It's amazing. Our confession of our faith is very important, and then that from there we live it. And that means standing up for all good things. You read in the church services, in the service the priest prays as a consecrating the gifts, he says, protect the orphans, the widows, the hungry, the homeless, the helper of the helpless, the hope of the homeless, hopeless, the savior of the storm-tossed. He's all those things, and we have to be those things. And very important issues. I'm not a political person, but this one digs a lot of people, and it's important. You know, this past week, 47 years since that horrible, horrific Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, to legalize murder. Murder. People don't like to hear that. It's murder. The Lord goes after the innocent and the weak. Who is more weak than those who are in the womb of their mother? It should be the safest place in the world. It's the most beautiful place. Watching my wife be pregnant, watching her sing to the baby, watching that, it is the most magnificent place. Look at the icon above the altar. It's Jesus in the womb of his mother. And the most safe place becomes a place of slaughter. 62 million babies in the past 47 years. 62 million! Everyone hates the Holocaust, as they should. It was abominable. 6 million people is the estimate, people that died. 10 times more. And it wasn't the Nazis that were doing it. It's us. It's people who think they're smart and they have progress and they know better. Let me tell you, as a priest, I've heard many confessions of people that committed abortions. I've never heard, "I'm so glad I did that." I do hear often, "I have nightmares, Father. I hear the voice of my child." I've heard that lots. Can the Lord forgive it? Yes, He can. He can, but someone has to actually repent and know that it's wrong. I'm saddened that all too often, Orthodox Christians, they hear this and they go, "I don't want to get into this." Why? Does some part of you think this is okay? It's not okay. Justify it, perhaps. You know, when I was young, I bought this line because I swallowed all the pop culture that was around me. Oh, it's a choice. You know, it's choice is great. But the choice between your freedom and your life being a little hard and destroying a life, sorry, your choice doesn't matter anymore. If a baby's one day old, is that okay? By the way, the governor of Virginia in public said it's okay to kill the babies after they're born. Politicians wouldn't even pass it to allow emergency care for those kids who survived the botched abortions. They wouldn't support money to treat them so they could live. And they sit and they let them die. You think I'm telling you the truth. You don't know how sick it is. I won't get into it. You don't know how horrible it is how they do it either. It's an abomination of people that call themselves Christians. And we have to be repenting for any way you've ever been involved in this. By the way, I want every woman in the world who's committed an abortion in the Orthodox Church. I want her here. Because I want her to be healed and to feel forgiven by Christ. But if you don't repent and confess, guess what happens? All the Holy Fathers say, a great elder, Elder Arseni Papachoc, one of the greatest elders of last century in Romania, he said, according to the Fathers, when a person dies, you know the first person you see? Parents, the first person you see are your children if they happen to depart before you did. And he says that goes for unborn babies and that goes for children that were aborted. And you have and after you've committed this sin, you have a choice of how that meeting is going to be when you die. Without repentance, it will be horrifically accusing. Horrible. You can't see if to stand in the truth. But if you repent and live your life in repentance, it can be a meeting of reconciliation and joy. That's how much God loves us if we repent. And what does that mean? I tell people who have done it, you know what? Repent doesn't make it right. And you pray for that baby every day. There's an akathos, you can say, for the unborn children. And you know what? You become the mother of all children. If you're still of childbearing years, you have as many children as God gives you. Don't you dare avoid it. You become a mother to every child in the parish, every mother around. You support other people that have more kids. You become the biggest advocate of having children and the biggest accuser of this terrible sin of abortion. My father wanted me to be aborted. It's true. My parents weren't married. My mother was young. And the law in North Carolina was 6 months. After 6 months, you couldn't get an abortion. And she told my dad that she was pregnant 6 months and one day. And my dad was mad. And you know what? My dad's a pretty weird guy. I love him to pieces. But he is one of the biggest pro-life advocates in the world. You know why? Because he says, "I can't imagine not having you and your sisters. I was so crazy. So selfish." Right? Mothers often say, "Well, what's my life going to be like?" It could change your life. My mother, my life gave her life meaning. She was 16, 17, I don't know, she was lost. And my life gave hers meaning. And then we rob people of that meaning. The world's looking for meaning. Often sin is allowed But the Lord allows it so people can find meaning even in a terrible situation. Why is this true? Why is this sinful? You remember the first sin of fratricide in the Old Testament, Cain and Abel. Cain slew his innocent brother Abel. And what did the Lord say? He said, "The blood of your brother cries out to me. The blood of your brother cries out from heaven." One, the blood of one innocent man cried out to the Lord. What, can you imagine the cry of all the 62 million innocent ones that is rising up right now to the Lord, who are much more innocent, calling for holiness, calling for repentance? It's very important for us, brothers and sisters, to take this to heart. So what do you do? First of all, if you've done this, ladies, come to confession. Do not hold back. It was so bad under communism. I have some ladies have come to me, and I can just ask them in Russian. I've been to confession in a while. They live in the Soviet Union. I can ask one question. How many? I don't have to say how many what. They know. That's how sick it was, and how it was like considered great. But there's repentance in the church. Don't hide it. Come and be forgiven. Men, you have sins too. Many men who allowed their somebody, girlfriend, someone they were with, whatever, wives, to commit a sin, or even supported it or paid for it. This requires repentance as well. Doesn't matter how many candles you light, how often you do whatever, if you don't repent for this, it will be terrible for you. And if you do repent for it, it'll be beautiful for you. You'll sense the Lord's love and forgiveness. People don't like to hear this. You know why? Because it's a very sinful world that glorifies me, me, me. What if they were raped, Father? I can think of 3-4 people in this church that you don't know about who are the product of that, who would not be here loving you, tending you, if their amazing mothers hadn't endured. You go, that's not fair. Life ain't fair. But what's not fair is that they're a terrible sin than to destroy a life. We have amazing people like that. We have a person in this parish who survived the botched abortion. Thanks, Mom. Unbelievable. And this world wants to say it's a right. There's some actress who won some awards. She's pregnant with her belly, talking about how great her last abortion was. It's sick. And you know what? The saints talked about this. The bishops and priests talked about it for too long. Have clergy been silent about these things? And you know why priests do it? Because they're wimps. They want the church to be full. I don't care. Christ didn't care. When Christ told the man, "What do I do to have eternal life? Sell all you have and follow me." He went away sorrowful. He cared more about money. Did the Lord run after him? "Okay, actually, I'm sorry. Let's make a deal. Okay, you can't." No, he let him go. His greatest disciple was Peter. He loved him so much. But when Peter was full of sin, what did he call him? Buddy? What's the word? Who knows? Satan. So when a priest gives you a hard word, he's trying to save your soul. He called him Satan. So we're not afraid to call out sin, sin, because it's real love. Not fake, worldly Oprah love. We're sick of it. It transforms nobody. More freedom than ever. Traditional marriage is destroyed. Sin is so crazy. Total confusion. Are people happier? No. More depression. More suicide. More everything in this world of progress. Someone texted me and said, "Just waiting till the computers take over, Father Justin." A despairing person. God help us. We won't sit around and wait for such things. We're going to live the same life the apostles lived. The same every century. The new martyrs and confessors. And we don't care what the cost is. And here's what's beautiful. You might be afraid of this. I know many of you are afraid to speak up. Here's what you need to do. If you're involved in it anyway, repent. Stand up. I don't even vote, but I will when it comes to these kind of things. Make it known what you think. I know lots of you are cowards. You won't say in your workplace or among your non-Orthodox family that you believe abortion is a sin. Why do you do that? You don't want to offend them. Let me ask you a question. If there's a little place where they're killing one-week-old babies, would you care about offending them? Or would you beat the door down until you stopped it? You'd be a hero. If there's a mass... Think of the Holocaust. It's horrible. If you can go back and change it, would you? Would doing nothing be an option to you? If it was, you're a scumbag. watch people die and be tortured, and somehow, in some warped way, we say, well, it's just, it's not, it's, they're not, it's just innocent babies. It's worse! 10 times more people, done by us, to the most, the Jews were innocent, but there's for their religion, these are innocent babies! So much worse! And you know what? It's gonna be on your hands if you don't have boldness. I've changed many people's minds about this issue, and they might not like it, but who cares? We stand in the truth. Many priests, my good friend Father Josiah, no exception, he will go to an abortion clinic and do prayers. I didn't like that at first when I first became Orthodox. You know why? Because I was worldly. And I wanted to be liked by all of my non-Orthodox friends. I wanted to have my foot in both worlds. And someone said, we shouldn't do that. That's going to have the wrong effect. I know women that have seen people praying in front and it's woken them up and said, oh my God, what am I doing? And it saved their soul and the soul of their baby. So you know what? You need to stand up. This past week there was marches all across the country. You know many of us don't do it? Because our faith is not deep. It's personal, our little personal pill. No one has to know. You do your thing, you have your truth, I have my truth. That's not truth at all. That's not what set the world on fire. It was these peasant, illiterate, worldly fishermen guys who transformed the world because they weren't wimps. Men, women, children stood up for the truth. Yes, they prayed. True. Yes, they fasted. They took Holy Communion. But before all that, they would stand up for the truth. Murder is wrong. Marriage is a holy thing. Sin is sin. I want every person who's ever helped in any way a part of abortion be a member of the Orthodox Church. I want every homosexual in the Orthodox Church. But repentant. Repent because there's healing for everything. Oh, it's so judgmental. Gay people are bad. They are not bad. Whoever said that? They're broken like everybody else. But if we're willing to be humble, there's nothing that God can't heal. You'd be crazy. We have couples in this parish. You don't know them. I know their lives. They had this temptation. And they have a beautiful heterosexual marriage now. True. I have some friends who are monastics. That's their natural tendency in this fallen world. They're amazing, saintly people. You have people struggling in holy celibacy. Because the life isn't just about sex. Our world's all about sex and convenience. And how dare us, we've fallen in so many times into this. The next most important thing, and the most important thing, pray, brothers and sisters. So many of us are lazy about prayer. Do you know the saints say if people prayed on their knees every night, God will bring an end to many terrible things in the world. Only reason the world's alive is because the prayers of the monastics will make up for our laziness. Let's be dedicated to praying every morning and night in our prayer rules anyway, but especially pray for all those babies that have died. How many babies are right now in wombs? Will be born or not? Children who will... Imagine the mother of Salk, the great discoverer of vaccines. Imagine all the great inventions, the great writers, the great musicians of this world. Imagine their mothers did this. What a pathetic, broken, horrible world it would be. Much more close to home, imagine if your mama did it. You wouldn't have this gift of life. To breathe, to run, to play, to see a child is... unless you become a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't let this world mess with your mind. Don't let it steal your soul. And you know what? Don't be a wimp. Do your prayers. Come to confession. Fast and stand for the truth. Father, it might have a consequence. You're right, it might. And you know what? The more the climate gets like this... It's true. You know, in Holy Rus in the old days, everyone believed that. Everyone believed in God. Everyone. But when the Bolsheviks came, to believe anything different meant you were different and you were going to go to jail. And there were those who sold out. Those aren't my heroes. And there were those who stood for the truth. And maybe they were persecuted, lost their jobs. I have many friends who experienced that. Their parents, grandparents, sent to prison camps. That's terrible, Father. I don't want that. You know what you want? You want a soul radiating the truth. You know what? I guarantee that the confessors in the prison camp had more joy than the sellouts who were sitting there eating their food in their little apartment with their conscience totally broken because they betrayed the truth. That's many of us. Are you willing to be a Christian? Are you willing to stand with Christ who is the truth? The scriptures make this very clear. This is in Father Justin's eye. It's in the scriptures. Every generation in the history of the world knows that a society that destroys marriage, no man, no woman, no kids, pretty basic, totally avoids God's law, and destroys the most beautiful thing we have, won't go on for very long. How does it end? By the grace of God, yes. But the grace of God works in us. Pray above all. Repent if you've been involved in it in any way. Don't tolerate. If you let a conversation go on, people ask your opinion, and you're sheepish, you've betrayed. You've betrayed the truth, and the truth is the Lord Himself. You might get fired from your job. That's true. You know, I homeschool my kids. There's a couple reasons for it, but you know what? You might be kicked out of school. We have an Orthodox Christian in one of our parishes in the Northwest who will not get into the LGBTQ thing. And you know what? He's teased every day. He's punched in the lunch line because it's cool to be sick and distorted. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. Total persecution. And kids do it just because they have to fit in almost some places. And this kid stood up and said, I think that's sinful. Kicked out of school. Oh my God. What world do we live in? St. Anthony says, the time is going to come where they're going to find the last sane person and they're going to grab him and say, let's get him. He's not like us. He's crazy. That's the world we live in, brothers and sisters. Now, is it a little fearful? It is. If your happiness only comes from worldly stuff and you want to have everyone like you. That's not what Christians do. Our happiness comes because, I promise you, when you stand with the truth, with love, with humility, right? I wish nobody bad. I have friends who struggle with the terrible sin of homosexuality. I've helped many people repent of that. I have nothing but love for brokenness. I want to help all those men who have been involved in this. It's with love, but the truth has to stand. Do you love Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God? Do you want heaven so bad? Do you love children and the gift of life more than you love your job? Maybe not. You might lose your house. You might get kicked out of school, college. Maybe there's a time when this priest, and I'd imagine, I don't know how long, for saying these words of eternal truth may be locked up. Am I willing to give up all of this for the kingdom of God? I sure hope so. You know why? Because the Lord sets your heart free when you attend to Him. Above all, read the lives of the saints. None of them were wimps. They're so inspiring because they said, I don't care what this world thinks. I don't want sin anymore. And by the way, they brought many people to the light. Your friends want the light so bad, they just don't know about it. You don't wear your cross out. You don't do your cross. You don't proclaim your faith. You think it's Mormon or Protestant or something. It's not true. You're ashamed. You don't believe it deep enough. I'm speaking to myself just as well. Even though I wear a robe all the time and a cross everywhere, we have a choice of how we live with every moment of our lives. Zacchaeus Sunday. The Lord loves those who are humble and those who want to repent. That's got to be all of us. But you have to be willing to be mocked. Zacchaeus climbed that tree. They all laughed at him, St. John Chrysostom says. He was as a mockery. He cared more about seeing Christ. And you know what? He was mocked. He repented. And he had the greatest joy of his life. Dare I say that if you stand in the truth, forgive me, you're going to see me being outspoken about this more and more. It's essential. You're going to see me in front of these murder mills praying on my knees, weeping. You're going to see it. And I want you there with me. And I would ask, if this bothers you, I would ask why. It used to bother me when I first became Orthodox, and I realized it was my arrogance and my pride and my worldliness and my fear above all. When I overcame that, guess what? People might not like you, but they don't know who you are anyway. And guess what? Some beautiful woman who spares a child when that child is born. You know, I had a fight with a woman one time. I fought with her. I screamed at her in this church right here in front of the icon. She pretty much told me she's going to go have an abortion. I said, don't you dare. She said, you priests are all the same. You're so mean. You have no compassion for my situation. I said, I have compassion for the situation for sure, but not more than that, baby. You better not do that. And a lot of people don't know this. I went to her house and I would not leave the front porch praying on my knees. She wanted to call the police on me. I left before they came. Wouldn't you do the same? Maybe you would. And you know what? She didn't do it. And I baptized that baby. And he's so beautiful now.
And I'm so glad I was a jerk.
So glad. Priests have to be jerks. They have to be tough sometimes. I want to be like the saints, brothers and sisters. Not just priests are called to be. You're called to be like the saints. Let me tell you, people think, oh, the church won't, people won't come to church if you're too serious. First of all, that's a dumb reason to do things. Second of all, you're wrong. People in this are so confused. It's so crazy. Christian places, and all the, they are lost. The more we hold to the truth, this place will be full. You put me in prison, put some other priest here, 5 times more people will be in this church. That's the way it works. It's an opposite law of the world. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear. If God is with us, who can be against us? Let us make a commitment to Christ today, brothers and sisters. A rededication to our baptism. A rededication. Look at your life. Get the confession if you need to for any of these reasons. Even if you've not been a supporter. Don't, I hate when I hear some people say to families that have lots of kids, ooh, that's crazy. Why don't you, you know how that happens, right? Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. You were selfish and you chose your own life. Don't make fun of other people like that. When I see Jeremy and Heather, I kiss them. When I see Michael and Stephanie pulling their hair out, I kiss them. They could be, life could be so much easier. My wife and I go, what did we do before we had kids? I really have no idea. I don't remember. Like, read a book. I don't remember that. But I, thank God, what a loser I am without my wife and my children. God knows what we need. We need children. We need a wife. We need a husband. We need these things. And the world would rob us of these things that give us life. We won't tolerate it. Let us repent today, brothers and sisters. Let us have the bold repentance of Zacchaeus. Let's stand for life. It's not a political thing. I hate politics. It's I'm not afraid to march with different people for the sake of saving murdered children. Father, how about kids after life if you're pro-life? That too. I'm happy. Let's do whatever we can for moms and find homes for them and shelters. I've given tons of money to moms to convince them not to have an abortion. I'll do whatever. I'll take all your kids. I'll adopt 20 kids. I don't care. To give up a baby is a great blessing for a woman who can't take care of it. Many women can have babies. They receive these children in adoption. So beautiful. They're trying to get rid of it, you know. Faith-based adoption. They don't want Christians adopting babies anymore. Do you know that? That's true. What is going on? Because they're going to indoctrinate them with values of the Bible. It's unbelievable, really, brothers and sisters. We live in Utah, so we're a little bit of a bubble. You don't know what's going on, but it's crazy. But you know what? Fear not. Perfect love casts out fear. I pray that to this day and the Feast of the New Martyrs and Confessors of Russia, their boldness and their faith, even when they're weak, is with us. Let's repent in all ways. Let's become champions of the innocent. Let's be the helper of the helpless. And who are the most helpless? We help the homeless. We help everyone. Those babies in those wombs. Let us do everything possible. Pray, weep, cry, fast, boldly proclaim the truth to save as many lives as we can. And in so doing, you'll save your own soul. You'll bring others to Christ and you'll inherit the kingdom of heaven. May God help us to do this. The prayers of all the saints and martyrs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.